All right. Hey, well, we are so glad that you're here tonight at Gather. If this is your first time, man, we're really pumped that you're with us. And I'm going to share a little bit tonight about just this time of the year. I know many of us, this is a busy time. This is a time that we can get caught up in a lot going on. And one thing that always happens at Christmas, and you guys, or at least at our house, is in the mail, we start to get tons of Christmas cards. And you guys may get those too. And I can remember for years now, my family, we've taken pictures for Christmas cards. And Christmas cards can bring a lot of different feelings for me. Sometimes I'll see somebody that I haven't seen in a long time, like an old friend. Oh, golly, I'd love to hang with that person again. Or it might be, if I'm really honest, I might see a family or somebody that has a picture of their family on the beach, or a friend that's on a beach in a really great place that I'd love to go that I've never been, all right? So it might bring jealousy, if I'm really honest. I go, man, that'd be awesome. I'd love to take that trip. Or pictures can bring lots of emotions to us. I was thinking about a friend of mine recently. He went with his family to Kenya, and he took his wife and his daughter, and I saw some pictures on Instagram, and I was inspired because he talked about how just being over there and serving people just changed his perspective. And I was thinking how much I go, man, I need to do that. I need to get back over there. That would be fun to be over. And I've been to Africa a few times, and it's been amazing. So I want to show you a picture of my family. When I first moved to Dallas, this is me, that, you know, just that boy on the left is my son Braden, and then the chunky one there is Cooper. And Braden is now 20, and Cooper is 18. So when I moved to Dallas years ago, this was my wife Angie, and then our two boys. We have three boys. So a little bit later, you'll see another picture of this is them as they're growing up. So that's Cooper on the left, and Easton, and my son Braden, and they got their dad's weird sense of humor, obviously. And then and here's a recent picture. So time has flown by. That's my wife Angie, my son Easton, Cooper, and Braden. And I was thinking about just being with you guys and thinking. But I don't know if you've seen this thing called awkward family Christmas pictures. So I want to show you a couple here that because sometimes Christmas pictures can bring maybe just funny. You see stuff and you go, that's just funny, and. This is okay. Wait a minute. Let's go back to that first one. But this is a little bit awkward. You got the dog, of course, but of course the family has a duck or a goose or something there, I guess. That's a little strange. Okay, the next one, I guess they have a love of reptiles. Okay, everybody loves a good Christmas picture with lizards and snakes. All right. And then this one cracked me up. This next one, you guys might know who that is. That's Justin Timberlake. Those were not good years for him, okay? Let's just be honest. Anyway, it turned out okay for him, I guess. But I was thinking about just sometimes these pictures can bring, you can laugh, you might long to be with someone, you might be inspired by them. And what I wanted to do tonight was I wanted to talk to you about what would it have been like if someone would have been around the time of Christ and had a camera there to take pictures of what was going on with the emotions that people were feeling, those who were around the birth of Christ. And you guys know the old manger scene. As you see that, you kind of, that's probably what you think of. You got the shepherds or the wise men, and you got Joseph and Mary there and Jesus. But I wanted to take a moment to specifically point out a few in the scripture that I think we can learn a lot from. And here's what I thought about tonight is that many of you, as I started talking about a Christmas message, maybe if you're honest tonight, your heart was a little numb. Or you might have gone, okay, here we go. I've heard this before. Okay, we're going to talk about baby Jesus, and we're going to talk about the gift that he is, and this is the reason for the season, and some of those things that, and you know, if I'm honest, I can become numb to those things because I've heard it. I've heard a Christmas message so many times. And so I want you to pray tonight that the Lord would open your heart to maybe what he wants to show you tonight as I'm speaking and sharing with you, because I don't want us to hear another Christmas message. I want us to remember the message of Christmas and who Jesus is and what he has for us tonight. So I'm going to start with a picture of the shepherds, okay? And I love this picture in Luke chapter 2. It says this about the shepherds. And just think, if you were the shepherds and this is what happened. And when the angel, verse 15 in chapter 2, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. You guys know that story. You've heard those verses. But just think, all of a sudden, the Lord has made known to these shepherds that there's a Savior that has been born. And I love their response. They go with haste. They run to the Savior. And so here's the picture that I want you to ask yourself. Right now in your walk with the Lord, is there, if we were to take a picture of you in this season, are we seeing you running to Christ? When I thought about Christmas morning for me, I don't know if you guys have a Christmas memory when you were a kid, maybe there's tough memories, but hopefully there's some good ones. I can remember one Christmas, specifically, I was running out from my room, and we went out, and there's the fireplace, and I looked in the fireplace, and there was a Daisy BB gun. Okay, it wasn't the Red Ryder BB gun with the compass in the stock, shoot your eye out, kid, from that movie. But it was a Daisy BB gun, and I thought, oh, this is unbelievable. So I'm running over, and as I'm going to this BB gun, I look over, and on the floor is this the world's largest chess set in my eyes as a kid. And it was like a blanket and these huge plastic. There's a picture of kind of what it was like, but it was big like that. And I thought, man, I've hit the jackpot. I got the Daisy BB gun and the chess set. So I was fired up, okay? And I was just thinking about that as a kid. When I think back, that was one of my favorite Christmases because I just remember those gifts. And I ran with anticipation. Do you remember as a kid when you'd come out to Christmas and you wanted to see what was under the tree for you? And I want you to think about that in your relationship with the Lord. You know, if the Lord is the gift to us that God gave us, the gift of his Son, then we should run to him with that kind of anticipation. And what I've seen in my own heart, and maybe you can relate to this, is that my heart sometimes becomes numb to who Christ is. And I have to remind myself of how good it is to know him and how good it is to walk with him. And so here's my question as you think about these shepherds making haste and running to Jesus. The question for you is, what are you running to other than him? If you're not running to him, maybe there's other things that are distracting you, or there's things that you think there's life in and you want to run to those things, and you are realizing over and over that they will never satisfy you. I get that reoccurrence in my heart and mind many days. So maybe I was thinking about this for me. If my sports teams, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, and America's team, the Oklahoma Sooners, I think we all agree with that. No? Okay. That was a little stretch. But when I think of it, if my teams are doing good, it's amazing how that can affect my weekend. And I just look at that and I think, that is so ridiculous how I can get caught up in temporal things and watching 19 to 22-year-olds play this game where they tackle each other. Okay, and I get... And it can cause my joy to be robbed if it doesn't go my way. And so it reminds me, and I hope it reminds you, you ought to think about what are the things right now that you run to, and they always disappoint at some time. But there's one who doesn't disappoint, and that's this faithful Savior who gave his life for you. So what are the things that you're running to instead of the Lord? It'd be great for us to think about as we think about that picture of the shepherds running and making haste to see Jesus. Second picture I want you to think about is the picture of Joseph and Mary, okay? And this is an amazing thing that was going on here, and it was obviously very controversial with Mary. And so I want to read this passage to you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph," so in essence engaged, "before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." I mean, let's just be honest what's going on here. Here they are engaged, and all of a sudden Mary is pregnant, and he hasn't been with her. And you can imagine how scandalous that was to people, of like, she's pregnant, they aren't married, this is outside of marriage. This was a hard, hard thing. And Joseph, trying not to shame Mary, says, "I'm just going to divorce her quietly so she won't be you know, embarrassed and put to shame. And I love how God intervenes here in verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins. Isn't that amazing? God's already showing them what's coming. And I love how Joseph responds in verse 24. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So here's the snapshot I want you to see, the picture that I want you to think about. What Joseph and Mary both did here is they had to trust and obey. That's really what it is. Sometimes we make our walk with Jesus so complicated, and the reality is he's calling us to do two things, trust him and obey him. We used to sing that song, trust and obey, trust and obey. There was no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's a simple little song we'd sing as kids, but it is hard to live, but it's true. And Joseph here and Mary both trusted God's plan, even though it was crazy. She conceived the Son of God by the Holy Spirit. So I want you to think about the way they trust and obey. When I think of that, I think when I moved to Dallas now 19 years ago, I can remember going to my wife and saying, hey, I think God's going to move us. I just think he is. And I'd been involved with this other ministry for 8 years, and it was going great. We were in Conway, Arkansas. We loved being there. And what was happening in my heart was the Lord was beginning to awaken my heart for the local church. I thought if the local church was done right, wouldn't it be awesome? I just hadn't seen it done right very many times. And so the Lord began to awaken my heart. And then I get this call from this place. It's called Watermark Community Church. And I knew Todd from some days we worked at a camp together, a Christian sports camp. And I knew him, but I was like, I don't know if I want to go down to Dallas. Because here's the truth. When my wife and I would come to Dallas, we would come to weddings here, and we would get lost all the time. And then we would get stuck in this thing called traffic. I don't know if y'all have heard about it. It's not great. And I can remember us being in the traffic and literally saying to her, can you imagine living here? I never would want to live here, said that. And as the Lord, as I came down and looked at Watermark and saw what was going on, by the way, this it was very small then. The student ministry that I was going to come lead was a handful of people. And I just remember feeling and believing that the Lord was calling us to come. And I remember looking at my wife and saying, I think this is what we're supposed to do. I think this is where the Lord would have us go. And we had to trust and obey. And she had to trust that the Lord was leading and obey and leave friends and a ministry we loved and a community we loved and come trust him that he was going to do something here. And we are so thankful we did that. And the Lord has used it in amazing ways just in my own life, just being here and in the life of my older sons. So I was thinking about this for you and for me. The other things that I think about with trusting and obeying, this week with my community group, I'm going to give you a specific. I can just remember sitting with the guys in my group this week and feeling like the Lord was wanting me to confess some things. And I just, you know how that goes, man. There's something in your flesh that goes, I don't want to confess that, or I want to be prideful. It's not a big deal. And the Lord was just reminding me of his word, James 5:16, confess your sin to one another that you might be healed. And so I had to trust that his word is true. And you know what happens when we confess to each other? It allows other people, I've seen it happen all week this week, when somebody else is obedient, they trust the Lord, and they confess like his word says, it leads others to obey too, and they go, that's a good thing when you trust and obey. I was thinking about this week there's been some big leadership challenges at our church, and I was just reminded again of how much I need the Lord, and I am tempted in those times to try to take it in my own strength. I'm tempted to worry about it and be consumed with worry. And I was reminded of God's word. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And you guys may be like me. you may be tempted to, instead of trusting the Lord, you try to take everything into your own hands and in your own control. And God's reminding you, he's going, remember what Joseph and Mary did? Remember when they trusted me and obeyed? And look what happened from that. The Savior of the world came, the one who bore your sins on the cross because they were faithful and they trusted the Lord. Here's my question for you. Are you right in the middle right now of trust in a trusting and obeying situation? Maybe you're worried about some provision. Maybe you're worried about a relationship or a friendship or whatever it is that you're trying to control, and the Lord's just asking you again to open up your hands to him and saying, trust and obey. There's no other way. What would that be for you tonight? Last one I thought of maybe for somebody in this room is it maybe just you're having to trust him. Maybe you've been untruthful. Okay, maybe you've told a lie, and you know you need to come clean with that. And here's what God's word says. It says, keep your tongues from evil and your lips from telling lies. That's Psalm 34:13. If I trust the Lord that I believe his word is true, then I go, I want to confess that is wrong, and I want to move away from telling untruths. And so what is the Lord telling you? Where's the area right now? I want you to ask him, Lord, is there an area right now that I need to trust and obey you? Sounds simple, but hard to live. Hey, the third picture I want to give you is one of John the Baptist. And I know that we're running the tape forward now. Jesus in his ministry as he gets older and his 3 years there of ministry that he was doing public here. And I think about John the Baptist, and I love the picture of him because I think of this guy who's in his camel skin stuff out there. He's eating honey and locusts, and he was a different dude. Okay, well, let's just admit it. But he's out there in the wilderness, and his life was all about saying, make way for the Lord. Prepare ye the way for the Lord. I love what his word says in Luke 3:16. Let's look at that verse. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, and the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What I love about what John the Baptist, his life, what you see all throughout when he's sharing, he says things like, he must become more and I must become less. And if you want to see a picture that inspired you, think about John the Baptist's life and the way it consistently pointed to Jesus. Even when Jesus came into the picture, he went, okay, it's time for me to go. Because it's all about him. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He lived radically. We see that. 1 Peter 2:11. That's a verse that talks about us being alien. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. And another version says as aliens and strangers. Do you realize John certainly stood out where he was? We should be clothed in the Spirit with peace, joy, patience, kindness. The way we are clothed should look different and should stand out to others. And so I'm when I think about that picture of him, I go, Lord, how could there be different pictures of my life? And so here's what I want you to think about. John's life was pointing to Christ. I was thinking about an analogy of this or a picture of this. When I grew up in Oklahoma, there was a neighborhood called Westbury. And it was this place where we would go to see Christmas lights. Anybody gone and seen Christmas lights? You've gone into some neighborhoods? Okay, no one? It's a really cool thing to do. So anyway, I remember going in this neighborhood, and we're driving down the street, and we go, and there was one year, as we're driving down, I'm seeing all the lights, and at the end of the street, I saw this house just glowing. Think Clark Griswold and Christmas Vacation. I mean, it was big time glowing. And I remember getting to the end of that street, and we used to go, we got to go see that one house. And it had lights everywhere, lights in the yard, lights on the house, every yard arch you could imagine. It was, you're like, whoa, they went all out. And we would go see that house. And so every year we'd go. Well, one year I got down, obviously we were heading down the street, we got to go see the house with all the, man, the amazing lights. And we get down, and right next to this house, the one right before it, it was completely dark. Except for on the roof, there was an arrow that pointed at that house. That was it. So kind of like this. Look at this picture. A little bit like, you know, hey, it didn't say OMG, but that's really funny. But I remember thinking that was so funny to see that arrow pointing to the house that was really lit up. Hey, this is what I want you to remember. That's what our life should be like. Our life should be an arrow pointing to the light of the world. Our light, the light that has come, that has come into the darkness and opened our eyes, we might see him. That is a great visual for you to think about. Man, Lord, I pray more and more that my life would be an arrow pointing to where the goods are, where life is, to the one you want to see. You don't want to see me. You want to see him. And so as you think about this snapshot now of this picture of John the Baptist, it should move us to a place of, Lord, would you do that in my life? I thought about some ways that it might be different for us, the ways our life could point to Jesus. The way you love others who can do nothing for you, that is an arrow to Jesus. Okay, when people go, why would you love me? And I hope what they see is they go, man, because I love the Lord and I want to serve you. This Saturday, we'll have a chance to go to Brother Bill's, and that'll be just a chance for us to serve and love people. Maybe it's the way you handle adversity. Maybe when you're in a tough season, people go, man, I just don't understand how you could have such a peace. And then maybe it's your workplace right now. Everybody's stressed out because it's really a busy time, but you have this contentment about you or this peace about you that can only come from Christ. And others are going, man, your life points to something greater. And wouldn't that be awesome? Because we have opportunities all around us that are there for us. So how you handle, if you have joy in the midst of hard seasons, peace in the middle of chaos, all those things can point to Christ. A friend of mine made a video years ago that I want to show you tonight to just give us a little bit of a visual. If there was such a thing as Facebook back in the day when Jesus was born, let's take a look at this and we'll talk about it in a minute. It was a interesting portrayal there, right, of just what it would have been like if in the just the incredible picture of our Savior coming. As I think about it, as I want to wrap up tonight, I just want to remind you, man, remember these pictures this Christmas. The shepherds running to Christ. Ask yourself what you're running to. Remember Joseph and Mary obeying even when it was hard, trusting and obeying. And then remember John the Baptist, the way his life was all about pointing people to Jesus. And when Jesus came on the scene, he went away and made his name great. And we get the opportunity to do that this season. As I wrap up tonight, I want to remind you, Jesus himself was a picture of all these things. When you think about Jesus ran to the Father. You saw him running to the Father often. He was retreating to go be with the Father. You saw him always saying, man, if it's his will, I'll do it. It was always about bringing glory to the Father with Jesus. The second thing you see in Jesus is that he had to trust and obey God's plan. When I think about that, I think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's sitting there, and it says that he was sweating to the point of it was sweating blood. And he was overwhelmed, and he said to the Father, boy, if there's any other way, would you take this cup from me? And he said, but not my will, but your will be done. So he had to trust and obey the Father's plan. And then lastly, his life was about pointing people to God through himself. So he was pointing people to say, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And so when Jesus in Philippians 2, it talks about how he humbled himself and became obedient, even to become a man. And then it says, and because of his obedience and his humility, his name will be the name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. And so I love what the angels, what the shepherds said about the angels. Let's go see this one who the Lord has made known to us. And so if you know the Lord, if he has made himself known to you, will you run to him? Will you trust him and obey him? And will you point others to him? Let me pray. Father, thank you for this group of folks. Thanks for this time of year. Help us not to be numb to the story of Christ. The Christmas message, Lord, may we remember the message of Christmas that you came to this earth. It was Emmanuel came, God with us, and you made a way for us to know you. You made a way for our sins to be paid for and forgiven. And you made a way that you would rise again and we could have life in Christ. So we thank you. Would you soften our hearts once again to who you are? And we be reminded of where life is found. He that hath the Son hath life, is what your word says. And so we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for this time of year to be reminded. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.